Hey guys, is this Porsche GT4 on Bring a Trailer with 64,000 miles destined to be the cheapest GT4 ever sold ever? Or is it just going to fail to sell? Oh my gosh, look what time it is. Deeb, intro the show, and I don't have my headphones on. I get it. Producer Patootie didn't tell me to put my headphones on.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everybody to another edition of the Bid Nerds, where we geek out and nerd out on the most interesting car of the day on all the automotive platforms like Bring a Trailer, Cars and Bids, P-Car Market occasionally, just to amuse ourselves because they are a complete mess over there. But thank you for joining us. Good morning, partner. JP, I see Patootie was ready, but you didn't have your headphones on. Could I actually say to you, a veteran producer, that that's a rookie mistake? No.
This is a crappy show.
I don't get to say anything.
We don't even have 1,000 subscribers. What do I care?
We are right there at 1,000 subscribers.
Once we get to 1,000 subscribers, then maybe I'll have my headphones on. Look, I have the wire on the wrong side. No, it's the right side. Okay, that's great. I don't even know. Yeah, welcome everybody. We are just getting rolling here. Things are going well. We do really love you guys, the Nerd Herd out there, the Nerd Nation. You guys hitting the subscribe, like, and notification button. You guys are rocking it. We are inches away from that 1,000 subscribers. So we're going to have some fun when we get there. We're going to do a live weekly show once we get to 1,000 subscribers. And then you guys can super chat with us and all that kind of stuff. That'll be kind of fun. Yeah. DM us on the Instagram over there, BidNerds on Instagram, at BidNerds. If you DM us that you're one of the original Nerd Herd, we'll send you some stickers. We'll send you some swag. Get us your address, and we will make that happen gratis. We won't even charge you. So thanks so much for hanging out, and let's get after it, Michael Deeb. But before we talk about what the most interesting car of the day is, you want to shout out to our good friends at Godin Classic?
Absolutely. Our friends at Godin Porsche in Las Vegas, Nevada, are the very first Porsche Classic partner in North America. As such, they were vetted by Porsche in Germany for having the best, the very best people in the parts department, the very best classic technicians that are certified by Porsche, and a fantastic sales staff that understand everything about every Porsche that's ever been made. They were the first. Out of 190 Porsche dealerships in the U.S., only 11 or 12 are Porsche Classic partners. Godin Porsche of Las Vegas, Nevada was the very first way back in 2016. So please reach out to them if you need parts, if you need service, or if you're looking for a classic car or looking to sell your classic car. They are the only brand that can help you, the only dealership that can help you. When you call them, tell them the Bid Nerd sent you.
Awesome, guys. We are getting after it here. Godin Classic really is super duper awesome. I'm excited about today's most interesting car. Look, if you're new to the channel, what we do here is we find the most interesting car on all those auction platforms, and then we talk about the car, and then we make a prediction, and at the end of the show, we reconcile our incorrect predictions with what actually happened. Now, this particular show is going to be a little different than usual, because this particular car, the today's most interesting car, is owned by a very good friend of ours, Solomon Braun, who is the Pope of the car scene here in Las Vegas. He is he is the guy who started the original Cars and Coffee in Las Vegas, you know, what was it, 13 years ago or something. If you are a car enthusiast, if you are someone who loves Porsches or just cars in general, and you are in the Las Vegas area, you know Solomon and his lovely wife, Jackie. If you don't, you're not really a car enthusiast. One of our most popular films that we ever made back in our original films with the Der Fascination film series over on our Der Fascination YouTube channel, that's kind of like our parent channel, is the film about Solomon and his wife. Really, it's about Jackie, his wife, and Solomon, and Owen, also his car, Helga. Helga is not for sale. That is his 85 Mexico Blue 911. But he also has this car. Michael Deeb, take it away. What are we talking about?
So our dear friend Solomon is partying with his beloved, and he is the original owner of this 2016 2016 Porsche Cayman GT4 that he bought from Godin Porsche in Las Vegas, brand new. Beautiful car. If you know Solomon, if you've heard of Solomon, you understand that Solomon will show up to any driving event in the continental United States because that is he and Jackie's favorite thing to do. When they're not busy running their business together in Henderson, Nevada, they get out and drive. Oftentimes in the three quarters of the year, they'll take Helga out. But in the really hot months, their air-cooled Porsche doesn't have an air conditioning that's going to work above 100 degrees. So in the hot months, Solomon and Jackie will take out this car. So their 2016 Cayman GTR. JP, do you know how many miles are on this car without looking? Do you
I want to say 63,000.
64,000 miles on the odometer. And Solomon and Jackie have put on every single one of those with smiles and delight. Really nice car. It's red with the fixed wing. Solomon put paint protection film on the entire leading edge of the car. And then after he put on the PPF, he put the black racing stripes, which are just vinyl stickers that go over the entire top of the car, over the wing and everything. Those can easily be removed if you prefer. Solomon's car has been optioned with steel brakes and red brake calipers. But interestingly, it did come with the carbon fiber racing bucket seats, which if you ask Solomon for those long, 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 long drives that they go on, I think if Solomon were to do it all over again, he probably would have got sofas, the sports seats. But Solomon has taken this car on the racetrack, and I'm sure on the track, the seats and the car all come into one cohesive unit and it comes into its own. Solomon has driven this car and put it through his paces and he loves it. He's enjoyed it and he's decided to finally part with it. Solomon did get a certificate of authenticity when they were available from Porsche. So that accompanies the car and the sale. I don't know if you actually have been watching the auction, JP, but a couple of interesting things. Solomon has been very quick to answer questions, and as such, he's gotten a lot of commendation for having driven his car and putting some miles on it. So the feedback on his auction lot has been super positive. I'm really happy for him that he's doing this on his own. And so far it's going really, really well. And then I want to give it to you, JP, and then we'll come back and talk about the numbers because the numbers are also really interesting on this car. I will say this as I hand it over to you, partner. Because of the high miles on this GT4, it was nearly impossible for me to find a comparable sale anywhere, not on classic.com, not on Bring a Trailer. Where else did I look? I looked someplace else to see if there were any comps that I could find just on Auto Trader to see if there's any out there with high miles. About the highest mileage GT4 you can find is in the 20 to 30,000 mile range. Solomon might be the only one that I've seen in the last handful of years to come to market in like above 50,000 miles, period. These cars, especially the GT4s, which are the most sort of extreme versions, just don't get driven the way this one has been driven. So trying to find a valuation for this car is near impossible. So I send it to you, JP. What can you say about Solomon that hasn't already been said? And what do you think of the car and how it's going to do well here on BAT, but with the high miles?
You know, we love Solomon, obviously very good, very, very good friend of ours. One of my personal best friends in the world. So, yeah. And everyone that knows him loves the guy. You're not going to find anyone who's going to say anything bad about the guy. Patootie has something to say. She's saying that he's the greatest too. So hold on a second here. You know, We filmed this car over the weekend. We shot this car for a Rami Show episode. So that's going to be coming out. We're going to try to bust that one out before the end of Solomon's auction at the end of this week. So when we filmed this car, you know, I mean, look, when you see this car, I can tell you though.
Yeah.
Yes, it has 64,000 miles on it. But if Solomon were able to disconnect the odometer or put a piece of tape over it so you couldn't see how many miles on it were on the car, and you had to guess. If they had like one of those like let's say somebody put this car in the middle of a mall and said, guess the miles on this car and you can have it, right? No one, and I mean no one, would guess that this car had more than 10,000 miles on it, Most of the guesses would be that, oh, this car has like 630 miles or maybe 6,000 miles. I mean, the car looks brand spanking new. It makes zero sense with the amount of miles and the amount of road that this car has seen, that this car has like no wear on it. There's no bumper chips. There's no dings on the wheels. There's no scratches. I mean, it's the interior looks flawless. You did mention that he's been on the track with the car, but when he goes on the track, he doesn't do race days. Like, he's never raced this car. He does PCAD driver education days. He's a member at Spring Mountain, and he's always had, in the time that he's owned this car and before, he's always had dedicated cars for the track. He has
a Miata.
He has an old Miata.
He mentions that in the comments and he shows pictures of it.
But you know, he also mentions in the comments, like, you know, if you have this car, of course you're going to take it on the track if you get the opportunity. So maybe it's been on the track, you know, a dozen times or something. And anyone that's ever been to the track with Solomon knows it's like, you remember the movie Roadhouse? You remember the movie Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze, of course. Remember the bad guy had a Fox Body Mustang convertible and he wore the hat and he was the bad guy because he'd like drive on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah, just driving. Yeah.
Just looking around. I'm having a lovely day. Yeah. Anyone who's been listening on a rally with Solomon. Yeah. And basically Jackie is in the right seat going, what is wrong? Go faster. And Solomon's like, oh, I don't want to get a ticket. He's just like, Solomon is an excellent driver, but he is not, no one would say that Solomon is a fast driver. If Solomon wants to go fast on the track, he could whoop your butt. But let's be honest, he doesn't. Solomon is super cheap. So he doesn't want to break anything and spend any money that he doesn't have to, but he will spare no expense when it comes to the cost of maintenance on this car. I know all the people, like, you know, where he gets his car maintained. I know all the mechanics that work on his cars. Everyone knows that Solomon just comes in, you know, nobody explains what's wrong with the car to Solomon. Solomon brings you his car. He's like, I don't want to know. I just want to write the check. You know, he just strokes check, fix it. It's always like, he's the guy that will fix the things that don't need to be fixed at all. For no reason. He's just like, make it perfect. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to know. He just wants to fix it. So, even though this car has all those miles on it, this is the perfect car. And I'm with you, Deeb. I haven't seen any other ones for sale with this kind of miles. No. But I have seen other ones that have this kind of miles. There's a famous one on Instagram. I was going to get the handle. I forgot to mention it. But there's like one that's got 150,000 miles that people were spreading around just over the weekend. It's pretty cool. Wow. These cars are really good cars. This is a great driver's car. And honestly, I would like to own this car, but I think I think it's going to bring money. So I don't think it's going to, you know, I'm thinking, well, maybe there's an opportunity to get one because, you know, a GT4, I think, you know, the prices are around $100,000 or something like that. I don't really want to spend that money on much money on one of these, but this is going to be one probably not going to make that kind of money. It's going to do well for the miles, but where do we think the actual number is going to be? What do you think?
Well, JP, I love that you said that Solomon's one of your best friends in the whole wide world. Solomon and Jackie, to their credit, came to Esther and I's wedding in San Francisco from Henderson, Nevada back in 2019. So I adore them just as much as you do. They are wonderful, wonderful people. Solomon is a glue guy that brings people together, and I love that kind of inclusion, and I'm glad I know him. Okay, so I'm glad you brought up the numbers, JP, because something interesting happened about a day ago. Our car was at, and let me read it to you, our car was at $22,000, and about an hour and a half later, somebody put in what looks to be like kind of going for a knockout bid. So it went from $22,000 to $52,016. So it reads 5/2016, which is really cute. But 52,016 is where it sits, and the car has 5 days to go before the auction closes. So, John, without any comps, it was very difficult for me
I just want to interject in here. You said that the car was sitting at $22,000 and then it bumped up, like you said, twice a bid that's almost twice as much or more. That was within the first 8 hours of the auction. That was the day the car went live. So it's not like the cars get like a lot of times we review cars and it's, you know, it's only a day or two away from the close. This car still has 5 days to go from the time that we're recording this. And like right within hours of the car listing, it got a bid for $22,000, which is not a realistic bid, but it's someone that's clearly serious, right? And then it comes in at 50 something right after that. The first day. You never see big, heavy bids like that early. Usually it's 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, you know, just piddly bids, people to just kind of want to get on the, to get the notification. So yeah, sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to make that clear that these bids are, they're still a literal business week away before this thing closes at the time of recording.
Yeah. And but I mean, like a $30,000 bump is absolutely, no matter when it comes in, that's a massive upgrade. To that, and when the $30,000 bid brings it up over $50,000, I think we start to creep into where the value on this car might be. Now, you know, these were basically six-figure cars when they were new. A couple of years ago, they had drifted down. You could pick up a really nice one in the $80,000 to $85,000 range, but today the nice ones, the low mileage ones, are back up over $100,000, like $110,000, $115,000 for a, you know, sub 5,000 mile example of a, say, ceramic braked and carbon bucket GT4. So with this car having 64,000 miles, it gets really murky trying to determine where we think this is going to be. So I am really just spitballing here and guessing, but I wouldn't be surprised if this car went for $65,000. So my bid, JP, is actually $64,000, what I wrote down, and I'm going to stick to that. I think you could get another $12,000, but I just don't see how you could justify spending $75,000 or $80,000 when you could get one with, you know, a quarter of the miles for just a few dollars more, at that $75,000 to $80,000 range. So, you know, above 70, it just kind of doesn't make sense to me. But I've been wrong before. And like I said, the feedback on his auction so far is going really well. And as you mentioned, JP, having touched and sat in this car, it doesn't really get any cleaner no matter what the mileage are. So it'll be interesting to see where it comes in, but I'm comfortable saying $64,000. I wonder if Solomon would be happy with that number. It'd be kind of fun if maybe you talk to him, which I think it sounds like that's going to happen between now and the time it closes. So that when we do cap this car, this auction, you can sort of tell us what he was thinking, you know, sort of after the fact. But I'm going to give it to you, JP, at 64. I think there might be another $12,000 on the table. Even though the $30,000 bid looks like a knockout punch, I do think there's a couple more dollars to be had. Where do you think it's going to come in if I say 64 to you?
Well, okay, so number one, I did say at the top of the show that this show might be a little different than usual, because on this back half, we may record a live viewing of the close of this auction. So we're talking to Solomon about bringing him into the studio. So maybe we'll start that episode with this at the beginning and then go into that. I'm not entirely sure how we're going to do that. But all that said, Solomon called me before he listed it. It's not like he just did this. He was like, "Hey, what do you think I should do?" And I'm the one that told him to put it on BAT. Because I do think that's where he's going to get the most amount of money. I know how much his reserve is, and I'm not going to mention that on here. And because of that, I'm not even going to put a bid. Feel like it might not be ethical, especially if this particular part of the episode gets played before the other one, so before the show ends. So all that said, look, this car, yes, I do think it has a long way to go. I think it's very common that in the last, you know, day or in the last hours, we see 30, 40, even 100% increase in prices. I don't think that this $50,000 bid is anywhere even remotely close to where this car could end. One thing that I told Solomon when he was asking what to do with this car is that, you know, you're right, I haven't seen any other GT4s with this kind of miles for sale at all, but we have seen 911s of the same era with those kind of miles sale. And what you see with those cars, it's not that they sell for significantly less than other cars on the market. It's that they don't sell at all. Like, just nobody wants it. Like, you get, you kind of hit that 60, 70,000 mile mark on, say, a 991G or a 991 S, and just it's just not going to get any action. And so the person that owns it is pretty much going to have to trade it in for whatever a dealer will buy it for, because people just don't want them. It's weird, and they're great cars. I don't think that people should be scared of them, but I do think they represent opportunities. But people don't come in and buy them for less. They just don't buy. They just, like you said, they'll spend more money for something that has way fewer miles. This car, I think, is going to be one of those situations where I think people will overcome the miles because of the reputation of the seller and because of his interaction with people on the comments, and because the videos and the picture will show will tell the story that if you buy this car with some higher miles, this is a good one to get, because you can save yourself maybe $10,000-$20,000 and get a car that you can drive and have and enjoy. You're not getting something that's genuinely lesser. So I don't know. With that, I guess I will say a bit. I'm going to say 75. I think this car gets up to up there, because look, the next cheapest one at any miles has been what, 89, 85? I don't know. When was the last time we've seen one like 85 grand?
But that was a couple of years ago, right?
Now they're bringing over 100. At all.
So
That was a couple years ago, right? Yeah. And now they're bringing 100. So it's like, okay, for a low mileage one, $25,000 is a lot of money. That's a lot of money on the table. That's, you could buy that E34 M3 that we were talking about M5 or something, and have this car. There's a lot you can do with 25 grand. So to save 25 grand and get a car that's really, really nice, I think that's possible. So that's kind of what I predict.
There could be some younger guy out there that's going, man, I really love to get a GT4, but they're back up to $110,000-$115,000. Or I could get one with some miles on it and save $35,000. So your number holds water. And like I said, there's an invisible delta out there where somebody would rather reach and pay more to get a much younger car mileage wise. But there's definitely always a market for somebody who is not scared by miles, especially when they're looking at a quality product like a Porsche. And again, this doesn't have a hand-built engine. This is a 911S engine from a few years back that they threw into the Cayman platform. So your bid holds water. And Solomon, because I know you're going to watch this episode, if JP turns out to win this one, please don't hate me for underbidding on your car.
No more invites to Thanksgiving for D.
It's not that I didn't think it was worth it. I was just being practical. But JP comes in way over me, and you win. I'm gonna look like I didn't like his car, and that I don't want to be in that place with Solomon. So don't get me in trouble, JP. You better lose this one. But then if you lose this one,
I'm sure you want me to win. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
So look. you mentioned the guy that's like going, okay, I'm going to spend 75. If I spend 20 or 30 more, I can get one with a quarter of the miles. Okay, that equation, the math going around your head, makes sense. But what about the guy who's looking at a Cayman GTS for 50 or 60, and he's going, wait, I can step up 5, 10, 15 or 20 and get a GT4, that's the guy. Or somebody that's looking at an older 911, like say a 2014 or 15 911S, and all they can find is a damn PDK one, they're going, oh wait, I can get a GT4 for just a little bit more. I think that's the person that's looking at this car, not necessarily the normal GT4 buyer. It's the people that are going, wow, GT4s were out of reach, and I was looking for something lower, and I can step up just a little bit more and get this car. At least if I were in that box, that's what I'd be doing. I would rather have a higher mileage car and get the better mark at a little bit more miles than get a lesser car with fewer miles. But that's just me. Some people are.
I know this isn't compelling podcasting, JP, but I agree with that take.
Gosh darn it! You're supposed to say no. You're wrong. Yeah. You're stupid. All right. What do you guys out there think? Yeah. All right. I know you're all rooting for Solomon. Make sure you go into this auction and give a good word to Solomon, and go to the Derfossa Nation YouTube channel and watch
Helga.
When Saul met Helga. Yeah. Great film. Crowd favorite. One of the highest viewed. It's got hundreds of thousands of views. It's definitely the one that everybody loves, and you're going to fall in love with Jackie. She is the best. And we are going to release a driving video of this car probably tomorrow. If you're watching this, it will already be up.
And that's when my buddy Chris Kane saw you guys
that's
out
right,
at,
on the
Lake
road. Who's the guy in the Honda? All right, let's find out what happened with this auction before Patootie kills one of the intruders. We'll see you right after this. Fire up the time machine, Deeb. Here we go. Hey guys, I gotta tell you about our friends Godin Porsche of Las Vegas and Godin Classic. If you're looking for a new Porsche or a classic, you've gotta call our friend Steve at Godin. Save yourself the hassle of screwing around with all the auctions like we always talk about, and just talk to Steve. He'll find you the classic Porsche you're looking for, Godin Porsche of Las Vegas. Hey guys, welcome to the future. All right! We are hanging out waiting for our good friend Solomon to find out how much money he would or would not get for this GT4 with a bunch of miles. Michael Deeb, why don't you let us know what the results
were? I'm so embarrassed. I was talking to my friend Chris Kane saw you and Rami on the side of the road filming Solomon's car. So then I told him how we reviewed it, and I told him what my bid was, and then I told him that your bid came in $11,000 over mine, and Chris could not stop laughing. So, JP, Solomon's 2016 Cayman GT4 has 64,000 miles, and of all the cars that have sold on auction since they were new, none of them have 64,000 miles on it. This is the highest mileage one to come to market that we've ever seen. It was at $52,000 on three bids when we reviewed it. So I went up to 64, and then you made me look bad, or helped me make myself look bad to Solomon and all of our mutual friends by coming in $11,000 over me when I'm always the high bidder. JP, Solomon's car sold for $92,481 on a whopping 40 bids. At $77,000, a bidder by the name of Stinky Tofu put his last bid in, and then two other guys, KMH and Airbenz, fought over the car for another $15,000 until it got up to $92,000. And there it sold, hanging me out to dry by $28,000. Solomon, I apologize that I low bid on your car, but I will stand on my wallet, my reputation, that your car is not supposed to be worth $92,000. Even if I was off, Stinky Tofu was right at $77,000. That's fine. Your car is super clean, and it got unbelievable commentary and engagement by all the people that know you and know the car. Well deserved, and congratulations. But $92,000 doesn't make any sense to me. That's unbelievable. Solomon, you deserve it. You're a wonderful person, and it's a beautiful car. Congratulations to the owner. But that number is a high watermark for high mileage Cayman GT4s. I do not think we will see that happen again. Solomon, you stepped in it. You lucky SOB. Congratulations. JP, I don't even want to hear it from you. Just close the show. You were right, okay? I give up. I retire. Haggerty's on the other line. I think I'm fired.
Well, I mean, my obvious question is, why do you hate Solomon? He's so nice. He's such a nice guy. And Jackie has been so nice to you and your wife, and you just got
to
do Solomon like that?
My wedding. I know. I told my friend Chris Kane what my bid was, and he could not stop laughing. He's like, you high bid everybody, and then on Solomon's car, you crap all over it. And I was like, I was trying to give a reasonable explanation for why I thought a high mileage Cayman would go for that. And man, did I – that bid did not hold up well at all. I missed it by $28,000. Humiliation sensation. JP, I don't want to talk anymore. I quit. Find somebody else to do the show.
Well, there was a lot of other stuff that happened on this particular auction that made it pretty fun. We talked about this on Dirt or Die the other day, too. There was a guy, his call sign is SIEC. Suckhox, I think is his name. That's how you pronounce it. Yeah. Suckhox is this guy. Yeah. So Suckhox in the comments. Now, I know you've had some fun with dipshittery going on in the comments of BAT.
You asked me to, and I happily did it because I had not seen the comment that he had made. And you said, hey, somebody's popping off. So I went immediately per your direction and found it.
Well, let me tell everybody what happened. So Suckhox got on here after a so I just show the little bit of a driving video that we made for Solomon, kind of showing what the car is like, and you can see Solomon wearing his driving gloves, his signature driving gloves, and you know, he says always worn the gloves to protect the Alcantara, right? And so here Suckhox, he, in quotations, the driving gloves, while looking cool, were always worn to protect the Alcantara wheel from dirt and oils, end quote. And then he says, at 26 seconds into the video, you're driving with no gloves on, ellipses, just saying, ellipses. Can you tell I hate people that use ellipses? That is such a writer's hack. So it was like, what, dude, what are you talking? So Solomon says that he always wore the gloves. What does that mean to you, Michael Deeb?
It means that Solomon always wore the gloves.
Yeah.
And did he say Solomon?
Right. Did he say no one ever in the dawn of time ever wore, ever drove this car? So okay, here's the thing. At 26 seconds in the video, Suckhox is correct. Someone is driving the car with no gloves, but Suckhox is incorrect when he says you are driving with no gloves.
Right.
No, this is a response to Solomon, right? Solomon is not driving with no gloves. That's Rami, the host of the Rami Show. We were out filming a Rami Show episode, and Rami drove the car with no gloves. And for a split second, you can see that. And nitpicking, you know, so you saw my response. I had to get in there, and I tried to be nice, man. I'm like, I'm the creator of the test drive video shot last Sunday, the POV footage you see uncut in the videos of Solo driving his car. The B-roll exterior shots in the montage prior to the POV, that's point of view scene, is footage we shot earlier in the day for a longer feature about the car to be published later. The specific shot you're nitpicking about, at 26 seconds, was of the host of our show, not Solo, driving the car for just a little bit. I can personally attest that I have never seen Solo drive this or his G-Body car without his super cool driving gloves, making him cooler than you or anyone could ever hope to be. Am I right or am I right when I'm right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, that should have been the end of it, right? I mean, if I'm Suckhox, I'd have been like, all right, I gotta need to go suck some socks. But no, Suckhox doubles down. Look at this. He comes back. Yeah. He's got more. He says it's not nitpicking. It's calling a spade a spade. Ellipses.
Yeah.
A spade a spade. Michael Deeb. What does that even?
That comment right there is the one that turned my like. Okay, well, you will just.
Is that racist? I think it might be racist. I don't know.
But it was really, he shouldn't have gone there.
Yeah, I mean, he continues with a bunch of other stuff, but the fact that but the car has been driven without gloves, and you created the content that proves that, especially since it was the point of making about the gloves, and the first shot of the hands of the wheel are not gloves, and the gloves and the gloves, oh my God, the gloves, right? Solomon never said never, and he never said anyone else. And on top of all of that, it doesn't say anywhere in the video that he never wore or never drove the car without gloves. It was Solomon's comment in the thread that he said he always wore the gloves. So the video wasn't making any claim. But this guy is just like, oh my gosh, dude. So I had to reply, you know, you've made an excellent case pointing out minor faults in a pedantic way, proving that you are not nitpicking. thanks for clearing that up. And then you came in and I loved mine. Yeah,
read
yours
mine.
Is great. Yours, I've never, this is from Michael Deeb. This is Michael Deeb's response to Suckhawks. I've never seen the BAT trophy, Suckhawks. Will certainly win for calling a spade, but he gets my vote and a standing ovation for his comments. I doubt anyone reading Salo's remarks thought that he insisted the valet, porter, technicians, detailers, and of course the video producers should wear gloves when touching or driving his car, but maybe Suckhawks, in a perfect world, they can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, right, that was good. Clap, clap, clap. Good job, Michael Deeb. And some other people chimed in too. And, I mean, it's just like, and he did actually come back and double down yet again, but at this point, it was just, look, you've been filleted, dude. You're done. Just give up. Go home.
Mm-hmm.
And change your call name, because Suckhawks is not, that's not working for you. Or maybe it is working for him. What do you think of that? What do you guys think of the comments on a BAT auction like this? Can that ruin an auction? Michael Deeb has definitely had experience with that. What do you guys think of the results of this high mileage GT4, which is just a fabulous car, but I mean, 60,000 miles? I'm with you, Deeb. No way that this ever happens again. But I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
How many GT4s with miles are we going to see pop up on the auction sites and fail to sell because they think they're going to get this kind of money?
Well, that'll come down to how bad BAT is at setting reserves. That's what it's going to come down to. You know, Solomon's reserve was met and then exceeded by a pretty wide margin, and kudos to him. But if BAT uses this result as a comp for high mileage car and set even higher reserves, because let's be perfectly honest, you and I had doubts that Solomon's car would reach reserve. Like, it was really, the reserve was right at what we thought the car would sell for. So it was like, well, maybe it sells or maybe it doesn't. And, you know, should he pull it? I don't know if he will, because he said he'd rather just keep it than let it go for less money than he desired. It all worked out for him. But if they set higher reserves because of this result, yeah, you're going to have a lot of FTSs, and that will be a bummer. So we'll see how BAT reacts to this result. But we should see more higher mileage specialty cars come to market because of it. This is an outstanding result. Unbelievable.
Yeah, for sure. If you're working at BAT, how do you tell someone who has a, you know, 60,000 mile GT4 that they can't have a reserve for $85,000?
Yeah, you just say no. Say that car was exceptionally clean and it had an exceptional result, but we believe this is where your car is at.
Yeah,
and then
but
they,
mine is exceptionally clean too.
Yeah,
I never wore. I always wore gloves every time I. No, I was gonna make a bad joke, so I'm gonna leave that alone.
BAT, you come in with what you want the reserve to be. BAT counters you. You can counter them, and then they might give you another $1,000. But, like, you know, if you ask for 10 grand more than their counter, they're only going to give you $1,000 or $2,000, and then that's it. If you don't acquiesce to their counter, then you're done. They're not going to work with you. That's how you don't get your car on BAT.
I was paying attention
to the reserve.
I was paying attention to the auction at the end there, and I was preparing myself to make the call to Solomon. I know what his reserve was, and I know what my bid was, and I was actually fairly confident on it. I was like, So my bid was less than his reserve, and I was preparing to tell him, you need to lower your reserve and let BAT cover the spread, because like we said before the break, sometimes if it's within, you know, if the buyer's premium covers the difference between your reserve and what the highest bid is, BAT will go ahead and close the sale and give you that extra money.
Have got $3,000 or $4,000 to make his car go away.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's what I was thinking was going to happen. And I was like, oh boy, I'm not excited about making this call today. But it's a come to Jesus call. You know, you and I have had this conversation. It's one of those things that sometimes you just, you know, do you really want to hassle with this thing if it's that close? If it's nowhere near your reserve, then you've got a different problem. But if it's close enough, you may as well just get it off, just get it out of here, get it off the books, get it out of your life and move on. That's usually the better thing to do. But thankfully I didn't have to do that. And it was pretty darn nice. I was like, holy crap. Just driving on my way to the event that I had to film, just looking, kept looking at my phone going, what? Yeah. What?
I think it was Buddha. Mike Myers texted me and he's like, look, like, wow. You know, and it was just a picture of Solomon's car. And I was like, and I had not seen the close. It closed pretty early in the morning, I think. Mm. And, if I remember correctly. And so then I was like, what happened? You know? And he was like, he had sent me the text, but then he didn't respond to my questions to him. Mm. So then I had to like look it up really quick on my phone. And I was like, all I kept thinking was Chris Kane is going to have a field day with this because he was giving me such grief about lowballing Solomon's car.
Who was anyone around you when you saw the results?
My wife. Yeah.
Who also did she say to you?
She just shook her head at me. Like, you idiot. Like, you stupid son of a bitch. You know, like, it was pretty.